VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, as you may know, the foundation is critical to any building. If you've got a sinking foundation or a foundation that's crumbling or cracking or falling apart, it's just a matter of time before the structure comes down. Our foundation, rooted in God's Word, is also critical, and it's no wonder why our foundation is under such attack today in society. I mean, it's coming from Hollywood. Just look at what is coming forth on the big screen and on television screens across the nation. It's coming from the music stars of our time. It's coming from academia. And sadly, it's also coming from within the church. Churches which once stood tall on the authority of God's Word are now making apology for what God has said. The psalmist wrote, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Last week here on Crosstalk, we spoke with Ken Ham, CEO of Answers in Genesis, about the steps one church took to deplatform Genesis. Well, there's been more issues that have come out since that time, and the speaker from Answers in Genesis that addressed the congregation who was deplatformed is with us today. On Crosstalk today, we welcome Dr. Terry Mortensen. He is speaker with Answers in Genesis. He's an historian of geology, having received a PhD in history of geology. He has lectured on the creation-evolution controversy in some 35 countries since the 1970s. He's also a theologian and an author of a number of books and articles, including The Great Turning Point, and has edited and contributed to the 14-author Coming to Grips with Genesis, Biblical Authority, and the Age of the Earth, and other works as well. Terry, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Good to be with you, Jim.
Wondering if you could just provide for us an overview on how you came to speak at this church in Arkansas.
Well, I got a call, or I guess an email, from one of our other staff in early January that one of our other staff, Dr. Danny Faulkner, was not feeling well, and it wouldn't be wise for him to go down and do the seminar at this church. So I was asked if I would be available, and I was, and so that's it was very short notice.
Now, the church is indicating that you agreed to speak on a designated topic and a passage, Wonder of God's Creation, from Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 to 26, but has claimed that you never even referenced this passage of Scripture, and that you didn't talk about what you're to talk about. So did you say, here's my chance, I'm going to take this church by surprise? What's the background to this?
No, that is not what happened. We sent the pastor the three talks that I could do to fill the three slots that they had, two talks Sunday morning, which would be identical talks, and then two talks in the evening. We sent an email to him with the title of the talk, of the three talks, and a one-paragraph description of the talks. And my first talk, which would have been Sunday morning twice for two different services, is entitled Creation versus Evolution, Why It Matters, or I tweaked it slightly for that particular Sunday. But the description couldn't possibly be understood to imply that I was going to give a sermon on Genesis 1, 3 to verse 26, or that I would be talking about design and the wonder of creation. So, and I wouldn't agree to do a talk like that, knowing the kind of talk that I give on a Sunday morning, which we call a relevance talk, why does Genesis matter? I would have never thought in the wildest imagination that my talk would fit the bill for a design wonders of creation talk.
Now, do you have the description that was sent to them?
I have a copy of the email that was sent to them, yes.
Mm-hmm. And what was said about the description? How was your talk described?
Let me have that handy. My talk was described as, the title was Creation, Evolution, and Our Cultural Moment. And it was described, What is Happening in America and the Rest of the Western World? Question mark. Moral insanity, censorship of truth, and loss of liberty prevail. Why? How did we get here? Many Christians today think that the question of origins, especially the age of the earth, is an unimportant side issue which can distract us from focusing on Christ and the gospel, and over which Christians can just, quote, agree to disagree, unquote. But nothing could be farther from the truth. Dr. Mortensen presents some of the biblical reasons for believing that this issue is vitally important for every Christian, because what ultimately is at stake is the authority of Scripture and the gospel.
Hmm. So that seemed to be pretty evident the direction you were going to go.
Yeah, and there's nothing in there about intelligent design or, wonder of creation.
Mm-hmm. So you went and so there was a response from the church to this email then, or the description?
What happened is, the best I can tell, I don't have any email response from him, but we, because of the shortness of the, this was just days before I was going to be down there.
Mm-hmm.
That email was January 7th, and I was flying on January 9th. And because the pastor was at a conference somewhere, he texted me and said, hey, could we connect by phone? And so we talked on the phone. Nothing was said, as far as I can recall, and I just can't believe if he emphasized a sermon on Genesis 1, verses 3 to 26, and focusing on design and the wonder of creation.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way I would have said, oh, yeah, my talk fits beautifully, that description.
Right, right.
Just wouldn't, and I would have raised my point about that.
We're going to be airing a couple excerpts now. We don't have the actual message preached that day because of the fact that, well, the church has taken down the audio from that day off their site, off Facebook and YouTube, I understand. But you have given this presentation many, many times prior, haven't you, Terry?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of my standard talks.
Mm-hmm.
I've probably given it 200, 300, 400 times
Okay. Over
the last 20 years with Answers in Genesis, and I say almost word for word the same thing.
Sure.
Every time. So, and that talk is usually 50 or 60 minutes for the church. They only gave me 35 minutes because of COVID protocols and cleaning out the auditorium between services and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to play one clip now. We'll play another clip in our next segment here. But let me just play an excerpt from that message, and then we'll also give you a chance here to talk further about this. So here is our first clip.
And we are facing a moral crisis that even many non-Christians are concerned about. Millions of pages of pornography on the Internet that are destroying lives, including the lives of some Christian leaders who get hooked on that pornography. We have murdered 60 million babies in America through abortion since Roe versus Wade. That is 10 times as many Jews as Adolf Hitler killed. The divorce rate inside the church is as high, well, actually now it's higher than outside the church. And that's because more and more people who aren't in the church aren't even bothering with getting married. Homosexual marriage is now the law of the land. We're having court battles about who can go into what bathroom. And not only is teen suicide on the rise, but I just read a report just the other day, in almost every state in America, suicides are up, not just among the teens. But the problems are not just out there in the secular culture. Back in 2000, Barna Research reported a minority of born-again adults, only 44%, and an even smaller proportion of born-again teenagers, 9%, are certain of the existence of absolute moral truth.
Okay, we're going to stop right there, but give us a little bit of context. You're going through a litany of things here from society.
Right, and if what I said in the church was much more brief than that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way I begin my talk, is kind of setting the stage for why are we even talking about Genesis, because most of the church today doesn't think Genesis is very important, especially the age of the earth, And most Christians think, and I've spoken in many countries, I find the same thing, that as long as you believe that God created, and you believe in Jesus, it doesn't really matter when God created, how God created, how long he took to create. Don't worry about that. Just, you know, that's a science question. And so, I'm setting up the points that I'm going to talk about by describing the culture that we're living in, because I'm going to show that Genesis is foundational to what we see happening.
Right, and in our next clip, which I don't have time to get in before our break here, which will air in the next segment, you actually go through a whole list of items. I mean, everything from why we have different shades of skin color, different languages. You go into a whole list of illustrations as that, you know, where we find the root back in Genesis.
Exactly. And that's why we need to help Christians understand the foundational importance of the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Mm-hmm. All other doctrines in the rest of the Bible, whether big doctrines or even small doctrines, are rooted ultimately in those foundational truths.
So you spoke during the first service. What happened when you were finished preaching?
Well, I went and sat down next to the pastor in the front row, and as the closing song was going, he asked if I would slip back behind the stage with him, and so I followed him, and he took me into a room and said that he'd only one other time before asked a guest speaker to change the talk, but he said that I needed to change it and talk more about design and the wonder of creation.
Hmm.
And he particularly mentioned that there was a homosexual couple in the church and a transgender person, and that I needed to tweak that in some way. So I prayed like mad and searched for slides in my computer in the back room to try to figure out how to tweak my talk.
Mm-hmm.
Without completely removing anything that I said.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't compromising on my principles and the truth that I was presenting, but really, really being even more brief on those moral issues.
Yeah. So did the pastor then, I mean, you preached in the second service then, did the pastor have anything to say after your second presentation?
Yeah, I got my slides fixed about 2 minutes before I walked back up on the platform.
Mm-hmm.
And after I got done, I went and sat down next to him, and I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was basically, you know, that was acceptable or that was fine or something like that.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back and air perhaps the segment, and again, this is a little bit longer than what he would have given at the church on that Sunday, but gives you an idea as to the content of what he had to say. And again, folks, our program today is entitled, If the Foundations Be Destroyed, because indeed, as Scripture says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I mean, if we shoot the foundation of Genesis, so much comes crumbling down. We need to hold to the authority of God's Word. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, were the Aborigines that were found in Australia a primitive culture?
No, they weren't, Chris. When the British got there, these people had a very intricate culture and language and art, and even their own brand of technology. For instance, Aboriginal stone knives dating from centuries ago had serrated cutting edges. These were only invented in Western culture after the Second World War. There was nothing at all primitive about these early cultures. All people descended from Noah and his family, and they were technical enough to build a huge ship. Cultures do degenerate when they adopt pagan thought, but are not primitive in any evolutionary sense, and that's the Back to Genesis truth.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
the foundations be destroyed. Our topic here today on Crosstalk, Dr. Terry Mortensen is with us. He is a speaker with Answers in Genesis, has his degree, a PhD in history of geology, and talking about, well, we're in follow-up to a program, an interview we had with Ken Ham last week in regard to the message really being deplatformed, has been pulled off the church's site, did not want anybody to hear that message, evidently in follow-up, but there's more that happened as a result. Matter of fact, you spoke also that Sunday evening, is that correct, Terry?
Yes, I gave a lecture on millions of years, the ideas, unscientific origin and catastrophic consequences.
Now, even with that, the pastor said, now be sure you say this before you gave that presentation. What was that little caveat?
Well, I went out to lunch with my assistant and got back to the hotel and had a voice message from the pastor saying, you know, can we talk on the phone and can I link in the assistant pastor? And I texted him back and said, sure. So he called and they said that some people had been offended and upset. They had phoned or texted after the first service, and in this case, it wasn't particularly the moral issue that they commented on, but that people had said that I said or implied that you couldn't be a Christian, you couldn't be saved if you didn't hold to a young earth view. And so I explained to the pastor that I can't imagine what in the world I said that would lead anybody to think that, because I don't think that. Answers in Genesis doesn't think that. We are explicit about that. And then I told about my involvement in the Evangelical Theological Society every year, where annual meeting, where young earth creationists are a definite minority in that society. I talked about helping to lead Grand Canyon trips for scholars and theologians. And we intentionally invite old earthers. So, you know, I don't believe that, and I didn't say that, and I can't imagine anything I said in the first service that would even suggest that I think that. So we talked about that, and then the pastor said, well, I think it would be good if you could say something before your evening message to that effect. And so I said, fine, no problem. And so after he made an introduction, I then said, you know, I didn't grow up holding these ideas, and I, you know, basically said what I said on the phone. So
now you spoke, and the following week, though, the pastor had something to say about your presentation. What was said?
Well, he didn't mention my name, but he apologized that I had not spoken sensitively on this issue. But again, I can't imagine what I said that would be offensive, except if when I brought up the marriage issue, sex, marriage, and gender, I just had four slides showing visually a gay wedding in a church, a transgender boy winning a girl's track event, a drag queen in a public library, and then I put up, you know, I said that Jesus was asked questions about marriage, and I quote, and then I put up a slide with Matthew 19 and Jesus quoting from Genesis 1 and 2. And so after I read that statement and pointed out that Jesus was affirming that there are only two genders, and those are determined at conception, and that marriage is the creation of God, and it is one man and one woman for life, and sexual relations are only for within marriage, then I said, so adultery, fornication, pornography, homosexuality, transgenderism are wrong because they're contrary to God's created order. Well, I moved on to my next point.
Right, and I'm going to play what comes from your normal presentation. Again, this may be, it is longer than the time you had available at the church, so people will hear more than what was actually said. But this was not the sole item that you spoke of. I mean, you had a whole litany of issues that you talked about, why Genesis really matters, why Genesis is so important. What are some of the other areas you brought up? We'll be playing the issue pertaining to morality and marriage and gender, but what are some of the other issues that, just so people understand the greater context?
Yeah, well, we use what we call a block diagram, where we say a block of stone with the word Genesis on it, and then on top of that, other blocks. And so the first one was the doctrine of sin. And then I talk about the fact that the first sin is in Genesis 3. And then I show the seven-day week. Where does that come from? There's no heavenly body floating up there in the heavens that will tell you what a week is. So it comes from the fact that God created in 6 days. And then I go to nations. Why are there different people groups and languages and people with different shades of brown skin color? The answer is in Genesis 11. The first coming of Christ is prophesied in Genesis 3. The second coming is prophesied indirectly through the events of Noah's flood. And then I go on to the question of marriage. And then after that, I talk about the doctrine of death, the gospel, and then I come back at the end of the talk to deal with the morality issue some more.
Okay, so we're going to play this clip. Again, this is from your normal presentation that is given. And this is Dr. Terry Mortensen in the presentation. And I've carved out the segment here dealing with morality, marriage, gender, so that you could hear it as he presents it. But it comes in the broader context of so many other issues that are being raised. So let's listen in.
Or consider marriage. As we already noted, there's a very, very tiny but politically powerful minority, not just in this country, but all over the world today, who says marriage is a man and a woman? Why can't it be a man and a man, or a woman and a woman? And there are already people who are saying, why can't it be one man and three women, or three men and one woman, or three women, or three men? And I haven't heard it yet, but I expect it's going to come, maybe already using the same lines of reasoning. Why can't it be a man and his dog, or a woman and her cat? In fact, I read about a year ago about a man in New Mexico who got a marriage certificate, marriage license, to marry his laptop so he could have a relationship with the pornographic pictures, and he's suing the state of Utah because they won't recognize that marriage license. But folks, listen, once you reject the biblical view of marriage, there's no limit to how you can redefine it. Well, Jesus was once asked a question about marriage, in particular divorce, and he said in his answer to the Pharisees, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What that God, therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. So Jesus is answering a question about divorce. And the Pharisee said, Moses permitted us to divorce our wives, so what do you say, Jesus? And in his answer, Jesus takes them back to Genesis. He quotes from Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And there we read that God made the first two humans, and he made gender. He made male and female. It's a created order. It's not a matter of my personal opinion. And God created marriage. It wasn't an invention of man. And he says marriage is one man and one woman for life. And later we read in Scripture, it's implied in Genesis, that sexual relations are only for within marriage. And therefore, adultery, fornication, pornography, homosexuality, bigenderism, transgenderism is wrong because it's contrary to God's created order. And Jesus raised the bar even further in the book of Matthew, in his Sermon on the Mount, when he said, if a man even lusts after a woman in his heart, he's committed adultery already. So when we go against God's created order, sooner or later, we're going to suffer negative consequences. And if enough people go against God's created order and his commands, society will begin to suffer negative consequences. But listen, folks, the Bible is clear. Homosexual behavior is sin. But the Bible is also clear that adultery and pornography and lusting is also sin. And Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Jesus is capable of redeeming and healing and transforming the life of any person, no matter what their particular sin may be. We have to understand the origin of marriage. And that is found in Genesis. We have denominations, whole denominations today, that are marrying and ordaining homosexuals to ministry. They didn't used to do that. Why are they doing that? Well, if you look, you'll find out they don't believe Genesis. That's mythology. They've accepted evolution in millions of years. And since Jesus and the apostles built their teaching about marriage on those first chapters of Genesis, we don't need to listen to what they say. So we can just redefine marriage.
Okay, we're going to break in there, Dr. Terry Mortensen. And this is the usual presentation, the full-length presentation, which I understand, Terry, would have been cut way down even to accommodate the time frame for the church service.
Yes, it would have been much shorter because I spend, even in that talk, I spend most of my time on the issue of the doctrine of death and how the evolutionary view undermines what the Bible says about that, and then the gospel, and then I come back at the end about morality and just talking in a broader sense and mm-hmm. quoting from evolutionist who says, based on evolution, there's no moral absolutes, there's no right or wrong, there's no purpose or meaning to life. So I don't camp on the homosexual issue mm-hmm. in the latter part at all.
And yeah, and what's interesting, again, I think your full presentation is over an hour. You had like 35 minutes for this, but I saw some of the communication from the pastor that indicated, well, you know, he would not let a guest speaker in to talk to his church to present this kind of information to the church, but his lead pastor, he would teach on these topics. He wants to look at people in the eye like, you know, a father to a son on such deeply personal and sensitive issues. I mean, we're talking what God's word has said on these issues of morality.
Exactly. And, you know, I think what I said was not vindictive. I wasn't breathing fire and telling people they're going to hell if they're homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't single out homosexuality or transgenderism from these other sexually connected moral issues. And, you know, I didn't say the kinds of harsh things that Paul said in Romans 1 or 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't call it an abomination like Jesus did in the book of Leviticus, which Christians need to remember. It's not the red letter words in the Gospels that are the only words of Jesus.
Right.
The whole Bible is his word.
Dr. Terry Mortensen with us. We're going to take a quick break and a few more comments on this issue, and then we'll be opening phone lines for your comments, your questions. Our topic today, If the Foundations Be Destroyed. Terry Mortensen, speaker with Answers in Genesis. By the way, their website, answersingenesis.org, answersingenesis.org. You can look at Ken Ham's blog, who blogged and has a lot more information on this. He interviewed with us last week also here on Crosstalk with Information, but today speaking directly with Dr. Terry Mortensen, who was the speaker brought into question. We'll be back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
More now than at any other time in our nation's history, we are deluged in all forms of media. Television, radio, video games, social media, smartphones, iPads, iPods, computers, Blu-ray, and a myriad of other offerings. Along with all of this exposure comes the key question: how do I safeguard myself and family from that which is inappropriate? In the book, Biblical Filters for Your Media Choices, author Joe Schlero presents 10 biblical filters a Christian must consider before engaging in the media. This 50-page booklet presents a biblical filter derived from scriptural principles. VCY America is offering one copy of the booklet for a donation of $7 or get 5 copies for a donation of $30. Call 1-800-729-9829 and ask for Biblical Filters for Your Media Choices.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Why is all this important? We're going to be getting to that this segment here as well. Dr. Terry Mortensen is with us today from Answers in Genesis. Their website, answersingenesis.org. Again, you'll find information there also regarding the Creation Museum, Ark Encounter, some fantastic places to make your destination for your family getaways, but certainly great opportunities to see the Word of God magnified and to see the authority of God's Word put on display through Ark Encounter and also the Creation Museum as well. Dr. Terry Mortensen with us. Terry, the lead pastor in his letter addressing this mentions his church and said, "We do not mask God's truth or place it on the back burner, but we do hold to Ephesians 4:15, where we speak the truth in love. To veer from this biblical approach is to veer away from the example Jesus set for us over and over in his word. To simply state truth can produce shame and isolation, yet to share truth accompanied with love can bring revelation and healing and restoration." To me, that implied that when you spoke, and I didn't hear this in your voice at all, you spoke with authority, but the insinuation is there that you just simply failed to speak the truth in love. How do you respond to that?
Well, it's implying that I used hate speech. When you speak the truth, you can speak it in a hostile, self-righteous, condemning way, but you can also speak it forthrightly out of love, that people would know the truth. And that's what I was seeking to do. And so, it's like you can't. Is it wrong to say homosexuality is sin? Is that unloving? Is that what he's saying? I don't know what he's saying. If I wasn't speaking the way that church in Kansas that goes around, you know, protesting mm-hmm. and saying all kinds of horrible things. That's not the way I was talking. And if anyone was offended by what I said, then I would say that they were offended with the truth of God, not because of the way I said it, because I wasn't singling out a homosexual or a transgender person, and I wasn't using a hate motive to condemn pornography, adultery or fornication either.
Right. I mean, this is an area, Terry, where God's word is not cloudy. Like, what does God's word really mean on these issues? I mean, God's word is pretty forthright.
Yeah, and Jesus used very strong language when he said, you know, if your eye causes you to stumble, cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't using even that kind of language.
The lead pastor also indicated that he felt that Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham, have done a disservice to the church at large and their own credibility in reporting this. He's referring to the letter Ken put out, the post that went out on his blog as well, regarding this message being the platform. Your response, I mean, are you disturbing the church by this, the church at large, and damaging the credibility of Answers in Genesis?
No, I don't think we are. I think we're pointing out the compromise in the church, and as I look at what's happening in our nation, we are descending into moral insanity and darkness, and I think we're going to see increasing persecution of Christians, and the Lord Jesus told us that we would be persecuted for bearing his name, so we shouldn't be surprised by that, but this nation that was once so rooted in biblical truth, Judeo-Christian moral values, and a biblical view of law and justice is crumbling before our eyes. And I would say from my study of this origins issue, in particular the history of how about 200 years ago the idea of millions of years was developed by atheist and deist geologists, and most of the church quickly compromised in the early decades of the 19th century, abandoned belief in Noah's flood, abandoned the biblical chronology and the creation in 6 days, and then when Darwin came along, the church just gave more ground away. And it is the undermining of the authority of the Word of God, and particularly the authority of the foundational truths of Genesis 1 to 11 that has led to Western Europe becoming the spiritually darkest continent in the world, the hardest place to lead someone to Christ, and America and Canada descending into godless immorality. So I believe in pointing this out to the church, we're trying to wake the church up and say, you can't keep ignoring Genesis. And, you know, as I said, I've been active in the Evangelical Theological Society, and most of our evangelical seminaries that would pound the table about the inerrancy of Scripture, most of them are compromised with the millions of years, if not also increasingly with evolution, even human evolution. So it deeply grieves me.
Yeah, and also increasing in deplatforming God's word, his message, as it relates to morality issues, too.
Yes, and on this whole racism controversy, the church is compromising with critical race theory, which is actually racist. It's just we've lost our grip as a church in a large measure. We've lost our grip on the authority of the Word of God and the clarity or perspicuity of the Word of God. Genesis is not confusing.
Dr. Terry Mortensen with us, and I find it interesting, Terry, that the blog Friendly Atheist has picked up on this story, and they are saying that this is just being blown way out of proportion. But as I hear you proclaim this message, and the reason why you're proclaiming this message and why you have given this talk hundreds of times here in churches across the nation is because it's a vital message for the church at large to hear today.
Yeah, and I fully understand that an atheist doesn't think this is important.
Mm-hmm.
Because the atheist rejects Genesis, he rejects moral absolutes. He doesn't think there's anything wrong with homosexuality or adultery or any of those things. So, of course, he thinks it's blown out of proportion.
Terry Mortensen, our guest. Our phone lines are open to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We take your questions here today, your brief comments. But, friends, sadly, this is coming from many a pulpit from across the country today. I'm so thankful for churches that are standing upon the authority of God's Word, who are preaching and saying, "Thus saith the Lord." But sadly, it's increasing, and Terry, I know your heart's burdened, and the hearts of Ken Ham and others at Answers in Genesis are burdened as to the number of young people that are falling away. I mean, if we can't with boldness say what God's Word says on marriage and gender and these issues, is it any wonder we see so many falling along the wayside on these biblical moral issues?
Exactly. The young people have no respect for wishy-washy, convictionless preaching that's compromised. They see right through it. They see, hey, if Genesis doesn't mean what it says, it's obvious what it says,
mm-hmm.
then why should I believe the rest of the Bible?
Let's go to the phone lines. Brad is calling from West Dallas. Hi, Brad, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. Your guest mentioned that somebody accused him of saying that you can't be born again if you don't believe in Genesis and the creation account. Is that
the age of the earth basically being millions of years versus, you know, maybe 6,000 years?
Okay. Well, I agree with that statement. You can't be born again if you don't believe that, because if you don't believe that, you're saying the Bible is wrong. You're also saying Jesus is wrong. He's the living Word of God. It's not a good idea to do those two things if you want to be saved.
Hmm.
And besides, the Bible gives more evidence here. Psalm 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven."
Mm-hmm.
John 17:17, "Sanctify them with thy truth."
Yeah.
"Thy word is truth."
You know, Brad, I understand what you're saying. At the same time, I know that there have been many preachers of old. Take, for example, J. Vernon McGee, who held to, you know, many millions of years, or taught that, or C.I. Schofield from the Schofield Reference Bible. I don't doubt that these men were born again. And
well,
and but I know there's debate and understanding as to age of the earth and the evidences that that we find from Answers in Genesis and other creation organizations, you know, speak loud and clear to that effect.
But we know that the Bible doesn't speak to that in this in the same way. It doesn't. It precludes it, that being true mm-hmm. about millions of years.
Yeah.
And besides, that the thing that Ken Ham brings up all the time, if that's true, if millions of years are true, then
yep.
you have sin before death.
Yep, yep, good
and
point.
And that can't happen.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Terry, your response.
Well, I agree. You can't have death before the fall. That's why that was a major point in my message at the church and in the hour-long version that I give. But the fact of the matter is, I know many. I went to a seminary where none of my professors were young earth creationists. And there's no question in my mind that they love the Lord. They believe the gospel. They are trusting in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible never says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that that God created in six literal days about 6,000 years ago, you will be saved. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible clearly teaches, I believe, a young earth, a six-day creation, a global flood.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not a condition for being saved. And I would never say that, and I didn't say that at the church. And Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham, we have never said that. In fact, many times we put a caveat into our lecture to say, now we're not saying that.
Yeah.
And so
I appreciate that. Terry, we're going to move on. We've got the lines are just packed here. Let's go to Walla Walla, Washington. Frida, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you so much for standing up for the principles of the Bible. And I wish that more Christians in this country today and churches would remember why they were founded and what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
I fear that our country is in big, big trouble.
Yeah, we are.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Frida. George in Olney, Illinois, you're on the air.
Yes, I was just going to make a comment. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested and sanctified it. But it doesn't say that on the 14th day he did the exact same thing, because Jesus told his disciples, my Father is working, and I too am doing what I see the Father doing. His ways are not our ways, and his days are not our days. So we really don't know how old the earth is in his time or our time. We're just saying that it is able to, or he is able to do what he says he's going to do, and he's made a decision. The time will be cut short.
Okay, George, I am going to, we have 30 seconds before break, and I want Terry to get a word in here before the break. Go ahead, Terry.
Well, I would agree that God is working. Jesus said that, but he was talking about God's providence and his redemptive work. His creation work was completed. Genesis 2 makes it very clear in the first three verses. Three times God says he finished his creation.
Finished the work. Thank you, George. We're going to take a break here. Terry Mortensen, our guest, will come back to more of your calls right after the break. So Don, hang on the line. Jerry, Barry, and others, 800-733-9829 today to Crosstalk. Dr. Terry Mortensen with us. The website, answersingenesis.org. Back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, Mike Lindell declared on one of his broadcasts, what we're seeing in America now is communism. Many people may think that's over the top, but it's not. Recently, I acquired, in writing, a report written by progressives out of the United States House of Representatives, by 13 of them. And you know what they want? They want us to stop using the phrase, in God we trust. They also told the Biden administration they should not be using the phrase Judeo-Christian. They also went on to say they want the Biden administration and his agencies to decide who is a church and who is not, who can be a 501c3 church and who cannot. They also wanted to eliminate all non-religious exemptions for vaccines, and they also want the Department of Homeland Security and Justice to use funds for de-radicalization of conservatives.
By the way, if you're within Southeast Wisconsin area, we will be looking forward to having Ken Ham with us speaking at an event at a VCY rally on September 18. Mark it down on the calendar. We will also be broadcasting that over the VCY American Network. Let's go to Pensacola, Florida. Don is calling. Hi, Don. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim, and thank you, Terry Mortensen, for what you have to say. Thank you for sticking up for the truth and preaching the word. Scripture speaks about, or the Bible speaks about, the offense of the cross, and I think that's what you're experiencing from this pastor. Yea, moreover, from the homosexuals and transgenders that are in that church, they're in the wrong church. The truth be known, all of us must be offended by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit of promise in order to go to heaven. We must be offended to see who we are, what we do that's so offensive to God. Because Paul said, Christ died for the ungodly. Mm-hmm. These transgenders and homos need to wake up and say, hey, wow, that's me. I need to get on God's side.
You know, thank you, Don. And that's something every man needs to do. Thieves and liars and et cetera, all need to do. And as some time ago, I had a transgender that I interviewed. He said, I'm so glad, you know, that somebody spoke in the way that they did to him. He was offended by it, but was thankful because that's what brought him to Christ. And God's word will have that effect, Terry.
Yeah, exactly. I'm offended by the word of God, too. He's the brother in Florida is right. We have to be offended by the truth of God's word if we're going to be saved.
Jerry is calling from Janesville, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm a truck driver. I'm in your backyard here right now in Walton, Kentucky, where I had to pick up. Anyway, I don't know. I didn't hear the first part of the conversation, but what particular persuasion is... did you speak at that is going against you?
It was an evangelical church.
Oh, an evangelical. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, you need to, when people accuse you of something like this, you need to put your hand and hold that Bible up and say, if you got a problem with anything I'm saying, you take it up with this book here called God's Word, the Bible, because, you know, not with me. This is God's word. This is what God's word said. He says, you're either for me or you're against me. And if you got a problem with anything I'm saying, you take it up with this book here, the Bible, God's word, because I'm standing true, just like Martin Luther and the people before him that were going to be burned at the stake or whatever, that things that happened. And you stand true. You don't give an inch. You don't ever go back on your word. You stand true. If it means your life, so be it.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Jerry. And Terry, I know you, Answers in Genesis, do not come from a point of compromise in this issue. I mean, and that's why it's become an issue, is because you're sticking to what God's word has said on these issues.
Right.
Barry is calling from Tennessee. Barry, you're on the air.
Yes, the encounter the brother had is exactly the reason why we have this mess going on in our country, because there's nothing more powerful than the church on fire for the church. The church is the solution, and it's also the problem.
Yeah.
And when we have churches like this, this church that he encountered is not the only church that's like that. Paul wrote about it in Romans, about when they change the truth of God into a lie. He said, for this, men will lie with men and women with women. That's not, we're not going to get judged. Somebody said, we're going to get judged because, no, that is the judgment of God. God's pouring on his judgment. He's trying to wake up the church, and the church needs to get back in the pulpit, and preachers need to be not afraid to preach the uncompromised gospel.
Thank you. Thank you, Barry. Doug is calling from Pensacola, Florida. Doug, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to ask Dr. Morrison, at any moment, did you feel like just dusting your shoes off and just leaving instead of revamping your message? I can't imagine being in that position. I'm just curious your thoughts.
No, I didn't think about that because I wanted to get the truth to the congregation, and I didn't compromise what I said. I just shortened a section. I didn't delete a point. I just said a few less words, and then in the evening I really gave a strong talk about why the age of the earth matters. So I wanted to have the opportunity to give that evening message as well.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Let's go next to Plainfield, Massachusetts, and is it Sylvain?
Yes, that's correct.
You're on the air.
I think that the time has come, and I have been very concerned about this for many, many years, that the churches are so poor, especially in Massachusetts and the Eastern Seaboard, that we should forget about telling the people who are adult about Jesus. I think it's time to go straight to the children.
Thank you.
It's much more important to reach the children right now because the parents are not paying any attention to what's going on.
Thank you, Sylvain. And I know that's your burden because we're seeing so many young people that are being taught just totally opposite what the authority of God's word has to say.
Yep. And we are burdened to reach all levels of people from preschool up to PhD scholars who are Bible-believing outside of Genesis 1 to 11. They believe the Bible. They believe the gospel. I want to influence those people as well as the children. And there are many parents who are waking up and many pastors who are waking up to the foundational importance of Genesis. And we want to equip them so that they can reach their children.
Mark in Tucson, Arizona, you're on the air.
Hi, doctor. My question is this. I am a young earth creationist, and I believe that, for example...
Tell you what, Mark, we have 60 seconds left, so go right to your question, please.
That God created that at the time of creation. I believe that the light we're seeing on earth was actually made at creation. If I'm correct, I'm just wondering, do you believe that maybe as Christians there are things that we can discover if we accept God's word is true? And
thank you, Mark. Dr. Morrison, sorry to cut you off. We're down to 30 seconds. Terry.
Absolutely. In fact, Dr. Nathaniel Jeanson is a geneticist. He's, because of his belief in Genesis, he's learning all kinds of things about genetics that confirm that we are all descended from Adam and Eve just a few thousand years ago.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, Mark, we're out of time. Dr. Terry Mortensen, our guest here today on Crosstalk, If the Foundations Be Destroyed, our topic. Terry, thank you for being with us today and outlining the story for us and further just to really convict all of our hearts to hold to the authority of God's word.
Great to be with you, Jim.
Dr. Terry Mortensen, again, the website answersingenesis.org, answersingenesis.org. But folks, remember here from Scripture itself, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let's stand on the Word of God. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
Been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.